Good evening. Calling to order the Planning Board meeting, Tuesday, February 27th. Roll call, please.
Michael?
Here.
Susan?
Here.
Rocky?
Here.
Larry? Daryl?
Here. Would call for an approval of the agenda as printed before you.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Thank you. Roll call.
Michael?
Present.
Approving the agenda.
You approve the agenda?
Yes.
Yes.
Susan?
Yes.
Rocky?
Yes.
Thank you. This is not on the agenda, but I want to welcome Michael Lunsford to our committee, to our board. Welcome. Glad to have you here. All right. Okay, item 4, approval of the minutes. You have copies of January 23 public hearing minutes as well as January 23 planning board minutes in your packet and had access to those, so we call for an approval.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Susan?
Yes.
Rocky?
Yes.
Michael?
Abstain.
Daryl?
Yes. Thank you. Item 5, we have a comments from citizens. Section, is there anyone that, unrelated to the things that we've already talked about, is there any comment from citizen that you'd like to present to the planning board this evening? We will take no action. We're glad to hear information. But other than taking action tonight, we would table that and put it on agenda for future consideration. Any public comment? Seeing none, we'll move ahead. Item 6, there's no old business to review this evening. Item 7A, new business, the Richard Frank variance request.
Yes, thank you. You just heard the synopsis on this one, so if there are no further questions, staff would recommend for approval of the Richard Frank variance request to allow the existing structures to encroach into the side and front setbacks as presented in the lot split. And there are two conditions: if either encroaching structures ever destroyed, removed, relocated, all future structures must adhere to the setbacks as shown on the minor subdivision plat, and they must receive minor subdivision approval from the city of Tawnytown, which is administrative review, and I have it on my desk, ready to go. And then a lot split approval from Washington County before filing for their with the circuit clerk to make it legal.
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Thank you. Roll call.
Susan?
I'm sorry, is it a motion to approve?
To approve.
Conditions?
To approve with conditions.
Motion to approve with conditions. Yes.
Rocky?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do we need to allow for public comment before we vote, even since we're on the voting part?
Well, we typically have that, and I misread it. We can do that.
I don't know. I was just...
Okay.
Just
we had already offered for public comment. I don't think it's required.
No problem.
Although I'll do it just after the motion. I will allow it just so that we follow Robert's rules. Item 7B, the Otwell property rezoning request.
Yes, again, you guys just heard the summary. If there are no questions, if there are, I'll be happy to answer them. If there are no questions, staff does recommend that you approve the Otwell property rezoning request to change the zoning from A1 to RE, again with two minor conditions. Prior to construction of any additional residence, this property must apply for a minor subdivision in order to split the lot, and the applicant must apply for all required building permits prior to any construction.
Call for a motion.
Move to approve with conditions.
Second.
Any public comment? Seeing none, roll call.
Rocky?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Susan?
Yes.
Thank you. Item 7C, the Matthias property rezoning request.
Same for the others. Are there any questions? If not, I can just skip to staff recommendation. You saw the
Do you all have any questions?
No? This one's just a little bigger, just I thought I'd ask.
Go ahead.
So with proper setbacks and buffering, a full review of large-scale development, staff does find that this rezoning will be compatible with the surrounding area. Therefore, staff does recommend approval of the Matthias property rezoning request to change the zoning from C1 and R3 to I industrial. Condition is that the applicant must proceed through the large-scale development plan review process prior to any construction.
Would call for a motion.
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Is there a second?
If there's no second, then you can ask for an alternative motion.
Okay.
Our motion failed, right?
Yeah, motion failed if there's no second.
Is there an alternative motion?
Motion to table for further consideration.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, is there a roll call on the table to motion? Motion to table? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Roll call?
Michael?
Yes.
Susan?
Yes.
Rocky?
Yes.
Okay, item 7C has been tabled for further review and discussion. And once again, you're not obligated to remain at any point if you are, your work is, if anything is covered. So item 7D, the Hidden Valley Estates final plat request.
Thank you. Hidden Valley Estates is asking for final subdivision approval of 29 lots on 12.3 acres of land. It is currently zoned for R3, and all lots do meet the minimum requirement of 9,600 square feet. The project has one cul-de-sac road called Vale Lane off of Bossinger Road. They have completed the roads and drainage and have had their final inspection. There were only some minor conditions to address, which they have corrected at this point on site. There was an issue with the drainage to the north of this property. It was causing it to dam up and back up. They did get out there and correct that, and the water is now flowing. I've been speaking with the neighbors who were concerned, and they said the drainage is draining as it should now. they have taken care to make sure that their soil erosion is not getting into our storm drain. The fire marshal said that all the interior streets were adequate width and the fire hydrants were in place. There was a complication, and so this is going to change my recommended conditions a little bit. The our city engineer wanted them to certify the pond and do an as-built drawing of the pond and certify that it would hold the detention that it said that it would require. After some conversation all day, for the last couple of days, we will take, when the engineer is completed with his as-built drawings, if he will certify those to state that the pond will hold the capacity that it said it would hold, then that is what the city will accept as far as that detention pond. I don't know why it was so complicated, but it was, and it shouldn't be, and now it's, but it's all fine. And actually, I was out there while it was raining, and I do know the pond was working correctly. And James went out and actually shot the inlet and outlet with our new GPS device to make sure that those were in the correct location and those were properly placed. So we don't think that it's going to be a concern. We just need to get the final as-built drawings and get them certified in order to meet all of our requirements for our drainage.
Do you have an aerial view of where that's located?
I do.
Thank you very much.
This is the pond would be in this back corner. The water was backing onto this property, but now they have dug this drainage ditch so that it flows the way that it should.
And the ditch goes to the pond?
It doesn't go to the pond. This drainage always kind of flowed across like this and back out.
Okay.
So this ditch just goes down and lets it naturally release back to the same place it was coming from. We just weren't trying to create a dam situation.
Got it.
Which is what had happened inadvertently. Staff does recommend for the approval of Hidden Valley Estates final plat with conditions. I have to get some acceptance of the letter of credit just to make sure the city is okay with it. The final acceptance letter from Water and Sewer should be completed.
Tomorrow
will be completed tomorrow. They have come in and paid for their street signs. This condition for the as-built drawings, that is what we're going to do now, is just we're going to accept certified as-built plans to take care of all of this condition. So that will all be taken care of with the certified as-built plans. The drainage along the north property line, we just need to make sure they went in real quick and dug it out, but it wasn't sodded or kept in place, you know, with any kind of stabilization. So they just need to make sure that once it dries up a little bit, they can get in there and make sure that the drainage ditch stays open and continues to function properly. The detention pond must be sodded at the time the first home is sodded, which is approximately in 60 days, as they started construction on two of the homes. Building permits for the individual residences must be approved prior to construction.
And that's an administrative function, right?
The building permits are, yes.
So approval with conditions does not bring it back to here, correct?
It does not bring it back to here.
I mean, it's okay if it has to, but...
No, right, none of these conditions would be ones that you would have to hear. These are just administrative items that need to be enumerated so that we get them taken care of before we get all the...
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
If in the future it becomes a drainage problem, what kind of recourse is there for the builder make it work?
Right. If it becomes a drainage problem because it's not maintained, then that will most likely fall on the Property Owners Association, as they will be the ones who will take over the maintenance when the project gets finished out. If it becomes a drainage problem because of some unforeseen engineering issue, then that would probably go to a legal matter, and it would be above and out of our hands. Yes.
Michael?
Public, yeah.
You need public comment on that?
We do.
Any comment from anyone present regarding Hidden Valley Estates? Seeing none, would call for a motion.
Move to approve.
Thank you, Susan.
Second the motion to approve.
Thank you, Michael. Roll call.
Susan?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Rocky?
Yes.
Item 7E, Liberty Estates final plat request.
Thank you. Liberty Estates Phase 2 is requesting final subdivision for approval of 29 lots on 10 acres of land. The property is zoned R3, and all lots do meet the minimum 9,600 square foot requirement. Sorry, there we go. Now you can see it. The project has one cul-de-sac road, Malbec Road, that accesses Liberty Road, and a connection through to Phase 1 of Liberty Estates on Via Lenosa. They have completed the roads and drainage and have had their final inspection. Again, any minor corrections have been completed. There may be some drainage ditch that we still need to go back and re-inspect.
Go back to the,
yes.
There we are.
Back to that. Addresses need to be shown on the final plat. Other than that, only minor issues remain. The fire marshal also stated that the interior roads were adequate and the hydrants were in place. The engineer of record for the project must submit a statement that the detention pond was built and designed and functioning properly. And there are a few minor comments from our city engineer regarding drainage, so we'll just make sure we get those cleared up. The common sidewalk around the detention pond was not completed at the time that staff did their final inspection right here. That is to be completed prior to the final plat, signing the final plat. Most of the time, sidewalks are built when the houses go in, but on common property, the developer is responsible for it, or they don't get put in, and then you don't have that connectivity. Again, staff does recommend approval of Liberty Estates Phase 2 with the conditions, and all of these should stand as they are written.
So, just a question here. On the retaining pond.
Yes.
So it's considered a common area.
Yes.
In other cities, they require fencing around retaining ponds to keep children out. Do we not
I apologize. This is a detention, yeah. Meaning it drains completely.
Okay,
in between
so
rain
it doesn't
events.
Hold and then...
Right. It okay. only holds water during rain events and
gotcha.
Then releases it. That was a misnomer on my part.
And so the sidewalk then is just access around it and connecting to the first house property, correct?
Correct. It will come to, you see my mouse? It'll come to there and then it'll go around to this. This is what, this way when things develop along Liberty Avenue, you're not causing a break in a sidewalk.
Yes.
You're getting that continual sidewalk along the front edge.
Mm-hmm. Any public comment regarding Liberty Estates Phase 2 final plat? Seeing none, would call for a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Roll call.
Susan?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Rocky?
Yes.
Thank you. Item 7F, Napa Subdivision Preliminary Plat Request and Waiver Request.
Thank you. The Napa Subdivision is requesting preliminary subdivision approval for 65 lots on 34.5 acres. It is zoned for R3, single family residential, 9,600 square feet lots, and they all meet that lot size at this point. It has access onto Arnamani Road and Baker Avenue. And the way these lots are done is this property was actually split last month administratively as a minor subdivision into 4 1-acre lots and then that larger 34.5 acre. So now they're coming through and asking to split up the remainder into these. There are 5 larger lots that are approximately 1 acre apiece that front along Baker, and they will take access from Baker. And then the remaining residential lots will take access onto Artemani Road from 2 entrances.
Are there homes on those other 4 already?
They're not. There was 1 existing home. I apologize. There's 1 existing home on this lot, and then the other 3 are for sale for residences, as far as I know.
But not part of the subdivision.
But not part of the subdivision because they were done in the minor subdivision process beforehand. So it's a totally different development, even though it's
adjacent.
Right. Yes, that is correct. This site has some unique things going on. So the in green are the 5 larger 1-acre lots that will be on individual septic systems. The blue lots are detention lots. They have 2, 1 to the north and 1 to the south. And then cutting through the middle of this, which is why some of the lots appear to be kind of oddly shaped, is a very large electric transmission line. I believe it was 160 feet in total. So they had some things to overcome.
And that's already there, correct?
Yeah.
That's already there. In addition to the preliminary subdivision plat, the applicant is asking for a waiver, and I will discuss that in full detail in a moment. I just want to go through the rest of the technical information on the subdivision.
They are requesting a waiver for what again?
For some road improvements.
Okay.
If you already have it, though, in a specific order, go ahead if you're
going
to get to that.
Yes, okay. So there are existing 8-inch water lines on Baker and on Artemani that they're going to connect to. Ozarks Electric has been working with them with this easement to make sure everything is done properly. And then they will connect the remaining of these lots, which I don't think I said, to our Tommytown sewer. There were no comments from the other utilities, from phone, natural gas, cable. Those will all be coordinated at when they come in for construction plan.
So green, independent septic.
Yes.
Everything else is
sewer.
And the blue are just retention areas.
Correct.
Is that the right word?
Detention. There were some issues with the fire hydrants. The fire marshal said they weren't spaced properly, so at construction plan review, we'll have to make sure those are spaced correctly.
Correct.
This is preliminary, yes. So we'll have more eyes on it.
Mm-hmm.
The drainage has been reviewed by our city engineer, and there were several comments to address with drainage, as is normal on a first preliminary.
Mm-hmm.
We'll work through those. I did notice that there was 1 outlet structure that's kind of pointing directly to the neighboring property, and so that needs further discussion. before we
point that?
There's a drainage structure that is going just across the road, and I just want to make sure that we don't need to tie it into this side, or that we don't have some discussion about what's happening on the other end of that before we just let them shoot it across there. So we've been having some connectivity problems with our subdivisions lately. And this is, Jason was really nice to provide this kind of overview to show us. So here is the Arlington Road, Barrington subdivision. Here's Liberty Phase 1 and Liberty Phase 2, which do connect. And then here's this proposal, because Liberty was already finaled, so there's no connection here. So what I've asked and what our code allows for is that we provide some sort of connection so that when you have an adjacent vacant piece of property, you're allowing for some sort of interconnection to happen. So what they're going to do is, and this is not the exact location, this is somewhere in here, they're going to provide 50 foot of right-of-way. I don't actually want them to build a stub out, because stub outs tend to get kind of junky, and you never know if that person's ever going to sell. But they're going to provide 50 foot of right-of-way so that if this person ever does develop on this side, they have a way to connect over. And we're not creating that same back-to-back situation where you've got all these subdivisions but no actual connection.
And so point to it on that large scale right there.
It would be approximately here. And this is a previous version. There's extra streets in this one if it looks a little different.
That's why I was
curious.
Yes.
they had more lots planned initially until they found out the electric easement was wider than initially thought. So it would be here because our code says that you need to provide connection to adjacent vacant properties whenever possible. So we're going to do that.
So just to clarify, that picture is not accurate.
No, right. Not for the proposed
that
subdivision.
That was my
got correct.
It. Okay,
yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
This is, there is one condition that will have changed because James was discussing this with the engineer right before the meeting. Instead of having this main sewer line connect, they're just going to do service lines because he was trying to get a loop situation. Because the way it was two dead ends.
It's
so
water.
It's water. I'm sorry. It's water, not sewer. Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense. So, but they're just going to bring over individual service lines here, and they'll just loop within the bigger part of the subdivision. There's the bigger electric easement. You can see it. It takes up a lot of space in the middle of that, and you can't build under it, and there are major restrictions to what you can do.
All the way to the red?
All the way to the red. In between here is all electric.
That's a lot of property.
Usually they'll put a street underneath that.
Correct. And that's why we have talked about that. The right-of-way that will be dedicated would be somewhere within that. So that so they're not taking up any more room.
Right.
So the lots go into that area so you could do dog runs and that kind of stuff back there, right? You just can't fill the residential units.
Correct. Okay. That is correct. So the waiver that the applicant is asking for is to the proposed improvements to Baker Avenue and a portion of Armani north of lot number 6. Their statement is that after this lot split, the proposed development lots 1 through 5 turn into 1-acre lots, which have little to no impact on existing street infrastructure, and that's why they're requesting the waiver. So this would be the area that they don't want to, that they are asking to not have to do street improvements too, all along Baker and part of Artemani around the corner.
And street improvements would include what?
Widening and doing sidewalks,
curbs,
gutter, all of that. So they're asking you to waive that requirement for those five lots.
If we required it, it would just be in that section, wouldn't it?
Yes.
It wouldn't be on down in front of
the
subdivision.
No, they're not asking for a waiver for the entire thing, just for that corner.
But they'll have to improve the street.
In front of the new,
yes.
Mm-hmm. They're asking to basically stop road improvements where this bottom red line is. So when you issue a waiver, what our code says is that When by strict interpretation of these regulations, an applicant incurs undue restrictions on physical property to be subdivided, a waiver for such requirements may be granted. Under no circumstance should a waiver be granted because of a personal hardship or personal emotional reasons. Waivers shall not be granted based strictly on financial hardship. Staff does not feel like this road, like our road improvement regulations, create a restriction on how the property can be subdivided. They were going to have to do this based on topography. They cannot connect to sewer for these lots. It's not because of road regulations that they are developing it at this way. They were already going to have to do that. Staff also feels that while these lots may have lesser impact, they have these four lots, and there's nothing to stop the traffic that will be generated by the remainder of the residential lots from going this way and connecting over to Barrington. So I don't think that it's necessarily true to say that there would be no impact to that. No waiver shall be granted unless the Planning Commission finds all of the following to be true. And A is that there are special conditions or conditions affecting the land involved such that a strict application of the provision of these regulations would deprive the applicant of reasonable use of his land. And again, this was already proposed to be this way. I don't feel like street improvements are what is causing him to lose any potential value to his land. We find no special circumstance that requiring these road improvements somehow deprives the applicant. So staff does recommend approval of the preliminary plat subdivision with condition, but based on lack of evidence shown, we do recommend denial of the waiver request. If the waiver is granted, however, which is your purview, it must be ratified by the City Council, and the Planning Board may add conditions to the waiver request. And if granted, you have to incorporate your findings as to why you're granting the waiver based on fact for us to take to the City Council. And then these are the conditions, which are pretty standard. It's regarding making sure the drainage is correct and making sure we show those the right-of-way that we've discussed. So as far as staff knows, the applicant is all in agreement with any of the conditions listed.
Any representative from Napa Subdivision?
Jason Apple with ESI.
Okay.
Representing the applicant. I'll just touch on the waiver real quick. From the developer's standpoint, looking at Baker from Armani out to Barrington, there's a lot of 1 acre type, 2 acre lots that were built along Baker with those three improvements. And so we just thought that it would be a consistent look from Armani to Baker that those improvements didn't happen. I don't think we're opposed to them. We just thought that it would be it's just kind of out of place. And so that's why we asked for the waiver. Other than that, I think everything else is, Courtney did a good job on explaining what's going on. So
I understand your Baker concern. Why did you stop going around the corner? Because you cut off Artemani from your...
Sure. We can amend the waiver. I think it would be a good thing to just do the intersection there on our side.
There's some drainage things that have to happen here that have to be updated anyway based on your drainage report. So I would be concerned to not see that corner get... somehow addressed.
And no road improvements are required on those first four?
Because they were done in a minor subdivision, not as part of the subdivision.
Right.
So they did not have to do road improvements on those four.
Okay.
Kind of a mess.
Thanks, Jason. Yeah.
All right, thank you. Any other comments regarding the Napa subdivision? Then, any final comments from you? Then I would call for a motion.
I think we have to make two separate motions.
Okay, so a motion then first on the plat request.
Move to approve preliminary plat request.
Thank you.
With conditions.
With conditions. I'll
second that.
Thank you, thank you. Roll call.
Susan?
Yes.
Rocky?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Thank you. Now we call for a motion on the Napa subdivision waiver request regarding the road improvements.
I move to table the waiver request on road improvements because I don't want to agree to half and not another half. So I move to table the waiver at this point.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Can I comment?
Yes.
What happens? Do we come back to this body for a second?
You would.
Well, shouldn't you deny and then like...
No, if I deny, it might be a year before he can come back.
For the waiver.
Table, he can come back next month.
He can. Jason, is that something your applicant would want to do? Because if you table him to next month, then he's looking at a whole other month where he has to wait to see what happens.
And if I deny, he waits a year.
Right. To ask for the waiver.
Or put the improvements in.
Or you put the improvements in. Yes, sir.
Or...
And I can also appeal to council. So if I choose, if you deny. So I would rather vote if...
Ms. Courtney, can he not amend his waiver to satisfy this body?
He can. You can hear an amended waiver if you want to try and spit one out real quick. No pressure.
Since you already suggested.
Don't put it in the legal verbiage. Just come up here and show us what you were willing to do. Put the map back up.
My amended motion would be to go ahead and improve Artemani through the intersection, through the radius of the intersection. And then, you know, if we've got to modify this, and there's some drainage that comes through here, we could modify this and fix the drainage concerns at the intersection. But then from that radius point back to the east would be the waiver request.
I move to approve the waiver request based on the conditions just stated by Jason.
Yeah. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Susan?
Yes.
Rocky?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Jason, you owe me a Coke.
That's bribery.
We do have to, it does have to go to City Council for ratification. So.
That's 2 weeks.
And then the findings of the Planning Commission, together with specific facts upon which findings are based, shall be incorporated into the official minutes. So if you can state your reasoning for granting the waiver, because that's what you have to do to make it legal.
Right now? Mm-hmm. So my reasons for granting the waiver are that Jason's firm agreed to continue the road
improvements
all the way down to Artemani, so there isn't a break between the 100 or the 63 new units and the existing 5 and 4 that are already there.
And so through the radius, so that it improves the drainage issues.
Radius to improve the drainage.
My meeting's next week.
Is it next week? The first Tuesday? Yeah. So it's next week, not 2 weeks. I'll leave. Thank you, guys.
Are we finished with 7?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you all. Item 8, we have a review of items for placement on the City Council agenda, and there would be 3 of those, correct? All right. Does this require a motion?
No.
Or just an affirmation?
Just an affirmation that these 3 items will be placed on the City Council agenda.
With?
Item 8B will not.
8B will not. You are correct.
Correct. True. Thank you for that clarification.
I'm glad somebody remembered an hour later.
Well, I had it marked in my notes under 7, but not transferred down.
Yes.
Okay, so item 8 is addressed. We move to item 9, recurring items. Items for review.
Yes, Roger thought he might make it, but I don't see him, so I'll just go over these really quickly. He was helping his mother. Mm-hmm. So South Point Subdivision Phase 1 is still in construction. Tawnytown Winery was issued a certificate of occupancy in December. The Burton Warehouse is in construction, getting close, getting pretty close. They have some drainage issues to work out as well.
Those all popped up.
They sure week. Did this last week, man. I'm
what, telling the
you.
Drainage issues?
I got lots of drainage concerns.
Flooded with problems.
South Point Subdivision Phase 2, I actually just got these construction plans in my inbox 2 days ago, so they're trying to get that one started for actual construction now. The Edwards Commercial Building, a certificate of occupancy was issued on the 16th, so they're good to go. The Thomas Warehouse will have their final inspection tomorrow, so that one will also close out.
Is there already a renter in the Edwards? I mean, have they leased it, or are they using it?
I don't know.
Just curious.
James, do you know? Sorry. Do you know if Edwards Commercial Building is renting or if they're occupying that space?
I heard that they ran into David Benalto.
Yes.
They ran into Benalto.
That's what I heard. I don't know if that's true or not.
We have rumors.
Okay. But we don't know what will occupy it, though. You have a name, but...
I don't think we've issued a business license out of there yet.
Her business go into like Lowe's stores and then they do signage in those stores.
Merchandising. Yeah.
Merchandising.
Okay.
I heard that she had sold this building that she had in the industrial complex and that's why she's moving over there. But once again, that's her.
Okay. Just curious. If you do know.
I can find out for you.
It's not required, but just out of curiosity more than anything.
Absolutely. Venezia Piazza, they have started construction and I have reviewed their architectural plans to make sure that they had some complications with their architectural plans as they were kind of an afterthought, but I think we've got it worked out so that it will look nice and break up the building. They had some really long buildings.
Remind me, does their property go all the way to 412?
It does not. It's behind the Casey's. On the corner, but it's along 112.
Right.
And they had some really long buildings that you're going to be able to see pretty well from 112.
They're boring
so,
now, yeah.
And they didn't have a lot. They dug their footings and set the metal buildings, so they don't really have room to do like some of the required articulation. So they're doing a little bit more variation and having more interruptions in the facade just to keep it from looking like a big massive metal building. So I've been working with their architect to get that done. So I would expect.
No, those aren't warehouses, are they?
No, it's retail spaces.
Well, along 112 is retail, but actually the middle is for some sort of storage type. What they said is like people who have a lawn care business maybe will come and like store their equipment and their stuff that they can't store on their residential lot and just like pull in their trucks or whatever for the night.
I remember that.
They're kind of long warehouse spaces. So.
Oh, yeah, they remember
yeah,
that. Yeah,
but again, that's all.
Okay.
You should start seeing that go up, so if you have any concerns, let me know.
Yeah, I've seen concrete being poured.
Yeah, the concrete's being poured and the building should start appearing soon.
I don't recall who owns the property on 412 then that's adjacent. Not that we need to know that tonight.
It's Casey's.
It's Casey's at the corner.
They're right behind Casey's.
They're right
on
behind
112.
Adjacent to Casey's. Casey's owns the vacant lot where the...
No.
Where the...
On the other side?
The people that own that particular development own that as well. That blank lot you're talking about?
Where the fireworks tent was.
Oh, that's on the other side of McDonald's.
But that is adjacent to this, isn't it?
No. It's catty corner.
Casey's lot, McDonald's.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
Casey's
McDonald's lot.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Casey's McDonald's lot.
Okay.
Piazza.
Yeah.
Correct. So it is adjacent.
Well, it's not. See the triangle.
They don't own this piece.
Well, the development. one is that sort of triangle
yeah,
there
it's
on
these
112.
Three pieces that are connected.
Actually, it doesn't even go all the way up to that street behind McDonald's.
It does.
Yeah. There's a division in there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're saving it so it'll sell for more, I think, is what they address.
Okay, raise your arrow a little more. Right, so that's not part of the current development? Everything in that, not there, that lot?
That is part. It just doesn't quite go. They didn't quite develop all the way up to
okay.
that road.
All right, never mind.
Not a problem. Start it over. Really? Come on. It's supposed to start from the slot I told it to. We'll get
resting
back.
Your hand on the keyboard.
I guess. There's technology, right? Okay, Hidden Valley Estates, you guys approved the final plat request tonight, so I expect that you'll be seeing more business, more residents going there. Liberty Phase 2, same story, approved the final request tonight. Westport Subdivision Phase 2, they are well under construction, as I'm sure you've seen if you've driven down that way. The Tiny Town Self Storage, also under construction along 412. And then the Napa Subdivision was approved tonight. So they will probably start soon once they get their waiver worked out. Any questions about any of those?
Nope. Was that all of 9?
No.
Thank you. Review building activities.
I have the monthly building activity report, and it looks like I forgot to update the number of permits on this. The value, the dollar value is correct, but the number of permits is incorrect. Because we're now at like 24, I believe. So as you can see, we're a little bit down as far as the valuation for residences as we were at this time last year, probably just based on larger homes being built last year. Commercial valuation, we are up as compared to last year, nearly $500,000. Residential permit fees are down just a little bit by $5,000 from last year. Commercial permit fees are up at the same time by $4,000. Other permits are trending up by $1,200. And our total fees assessed are also up from last year for $53,000. So we also have water tap fees and sewer fees that we keep connecting people to our water and sewer.
Okay.
We're good.
Item number 10, welcome Michael Lunsford again, formally at this point as the agenda. We're tickled to have you on the team, and Larry Roberts will be joining us at the next meeting. He has already been approved, but this was the one conflict that he had already been established, so we are grateful that you have chosen to give the city your time, and we're thankful for that.
And now's the opportunity, since Larry's not here, for officer elections. No.
Is that tonight?
It is tonight.
Oh, really?
So does that mean
Larry
shows up, Sue can depart? That puts us at 6 instead of 5.
No, it doesn't. Larry's on this list. However, Sue, at any time, we've got 4, which is enough for a quorum. We would appreciate. Wait, we like having 5 just in case there are people missing, but if you need to not.
But you don't need 6.
No, we don't need 6. We just need 5, which is what we have.
What?
You wouldn't have 6.
No, we wouldn't have 6. We just have a blank. Because when Jim left.
With 5.
Yes.
We have a replacing when you leave.
We just don't have a current secretary because Jim Miller was the secretary.
Gotcha.
So. Now taking volunteers.
Six lines there.
Yes. So, discussion about officers. I think Daryl's doing a fantastic job, but I don't get a vote, so.
Any nominations?
Can we not table this until next month?
The bylaws, the bylaws say you're supposed to do it in February.
I nominate Daryl to continue on.
You're secretary, correct?
Nobody is currently secretary.
Jim was secretary.
Stepped down, so there's
and the role of secretary is
not really
by name only.
By name only, correct?
It's basically the third person to run the meeting if we have an absence of the first two.
But there would not be, well, there could be quorum if the other three were present. So it never had to occur, though.
Correct.
So.
It's just in our bylaws that we have a secretary. But truly, Rhonda does all
right.
of the secretarial duties, I guess, absolutely.
And you'll continue to do those duties.
Right. Knowing that it's a name-only thing, are you willing to consider that, Michael, that the secretary, and we could leave?
I think you have to vote on members tonight. On
all three offices?
Okay. All right, then I move for Joe to continue as chairman, Rocky to continue as vice chairman, and Michael, since he's here, to be the secretary.
Larry, what about Larry?
That's usually the way it works, is you nominate
you vote
the
in the guy, yeah.
Right.
I just know that the fifth person that we find should also be named Daryl. That's all I
okay.
My brother Daryl, my
watch.
Brother.
You have to
specify
Daryl. As written on the ballot. All in favor of Sue's motion?
Aye.
I am
all
okay
in favor.
With it.
You're okay. Thank you guys for volunteering. And Daryl, you really do it. You do a good job. You can
He's going to be vice chairman. Okay.
Yes. And, oh, no, Michael is going to be secretary.
No, I was looking at Rocky.
Okay. So there you go. That's what you need.
Thank you.
Okay. So the next thing is discussion to amendments to the notifications, and this has come up repeatedly in our office, and Paul asked me to look into this because we'd had some discussion about how complicated this is for applicants, not usually for people who have an engineer, but for applicants who are doing rezonings for their individual property or doing any kind of those variances. Those people are not professionals and have had a really hard time. Currently, they're responsible for finding the information for all neighbors within 200 feet of their property, addresses, names, all of that. They have to.
We don't help with that?
We do. They have to send the certified letter that states the date, the location, time, all of the technical stuff, and they have to send it with a vicinity map. Currently, staff always lends a hand to find the property owner information. We give them a template. Sometimes we even fill it out for them just to make it. We try to make it as easy as possible because it is kind of impossible if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's extremely overwhelming. We do this to try and help, but this is not how the code says that we're supposed to do it. It leaves the city open to litigation if any neighboring property owners are not notified at the current time. Because if I'm providing the list and checking the list, then if somebody doesn't get notified properly, either something gets dropped by the time I hand it to the applicant, they forget to send one, or because I made an error, which is human, so that does happen. So. The city attorney and I have discussed that perhaps a notice on the application, like a waiver that they have to sign that says that we will provide this information as a courtesy, but they should seek professional, you know, advice from a title agency or a realtor to help them find the information in case any of it's incorrect, would be one way to keep us providing the benefit to them, but also the liability.
It doesn't require them to do that. It recommends
that
they do that.
It recommends that they have a check.
But it also keeps them from coming back on you.
Exactly.
Or you make an error.
Right. Or the other thing that the board can do is to have staff present a revised code so that we're responsible for the entire notification process, which is done in some jurisdictions. My preference at this time would be that we have a waiver because I'm only one person, and even this month with six projects, it was incredibly hard to stay on top of deadlines as needed be just because there was so much that I had to process. If in the future we get to where we have more staff members several years down the road, then maybe we can look at revising the code so staff actually does provide that service 100%. But I know that it worked really well for an applicant where I provided them. I literally handed them the certified envelopes with the labels on them and said, go and mail these.
So do we have to re...
Thank you, Courtney.
You're welcome.
Do we have to change, do we have to change code?
We don't. We would just... I don't think that we do that. I'm talking to Justin Eichmann. he thinks that a waiver would work on the application, if you guys are in agreement. I just wanted to bring it up to give you the opportunity. If you do want to change the code, then we can discuss changing the code. If you'd rather us handle it with just a waiver for now and staff continue to just kind of provide the service but not take the liability, then I just wanted to discuss it with you guys and see which direction you want
to
go.
I like the waiver idea.
I do too.
Well, I like the waiver idea, but it seems like it's a pretty costly service that we supply for various folks.
All you're supplying is the neighbors and addresses, correct?
Right. Well,
it's the time to generate all that information.
The time to generate that, and then I have actually handed them, you know, I'll print off the notices for them, provide envelopes and labels to help with the process. Or I can just provide a list and say good luck. But that anytime they hand a person a list and a template letter, it gets a little hairier as to what actually gets sent out.
But the bigger issue, I think, for the city, though, is trying to ensure that neighbors do get notified.
Yeah.
Yes.
And appropriate. Sometimes you look at a map and 200 feet, it doesn't look like it's 200 feet, but they don't take the time to really look at it or scale it out. Just like when we're using Google Maps, sometimes if you don't put the little dot, it may be 198 feet and this person doesn't get it sent, but
right.
If you click on it, it's 201 feet.
And if they don't get notified, then you can't vote on their project.
How are we verifying that they're notified?
They send in their receipts.
Okay,
their post
from the mail.
Receipts, and then I check them to make sure that they send them to everybody that they were supposed to. So if anybody...
The process is being done on the front end instead of on the back end.
Yes.
But you still have to verify versus the receipts.
Right, and the way that I run it is there's a program called Pictometry that draws an automatic buffer. And then shoots out all the parcel numbers to me, and then I go and verify that all those addresses are correct. The problem would become is if somebody is doing this themselves and misses somebody, it's too late then because you have a deadline. So it's too late for them to go back and notify that person.
The deadline because it's already on the calendar to be active.
14 days.
Right.
Well, it's the notifications don't have to go out until 7 days. I have to get verification 7 days beforehand, but
right.
Most people hand them in to me the last day. So, if they miss somebody, it's not like they have the opportunity to go and mail another one either.
Yeah, it's my thought, too, that even though if we said, don't do it anymore, the people would still be saying, how do
I do
who
that?
Are these
sure.
people,
right.
you know, and she'd still be doing it.
I still have to check. I mean, I do, and I still do check the back end just to make sure that I got all of them back, but we want to notify everybody who needs to be notified.
Right.
A lot of times, I noticed that people had just notified their adjacent neighbors, which is fine sometimes, but not always. So we just want to make sure everybody's notified properly so that we're meeting our ordinances.
And I don't want to provide, I don't want to do so much that it is totally free and easy, but at the same time, I don't want it to cost us money. But I also want to be perceived as helpful.
Yeah. Right.
And so... If you feel the waiver will address and provide the protection, then and the workload remains status quo, then I'm for that. If you feel under mayor's direction or whatever that it needs to be totally taken off your plate, I'm for that.
Yeah. Okay.
It'd be
like that.
It causes you more work.
Well, it does. It causes more work when people then don't have the right information.
We just want to make sure that the people that need to be notified are notified.
So
because we want it to be fair, honest, forthright.
Yes. Not
and easy.
Easy
enough.
And
easy. It gets done.
Right.
Yes.
I'm okay with the waiver. Are there any other?
What kind of fees are involved with submitting a rezoning?
That's a good question. So the rezoning application, I believe, is $400, and that's staff time and any technical review that has to go into it. And the variance requests are $125. So there are fees that do already kind of cover some of the cost of staff time. And now that, I've been talking for a long time. Now that I'm on staff and we're not having to pay for a contractor, so what what Tawny Town was doing was paying someone, a planning consultant, to review all of these more minor subdivision type things. Now, actually, since I'm on staff, I do all of that. So they're no longer paying a planning consultant. So I would think in the end it's probably saving the city money to have hired me who can review these without outside help. So
if we have to hire another assistant for you to be able to get all this done,
I think we're a ways out from that. Okay. I think at that time I would certainly welcome additional discussion. Or
we just want the cushion for protection at this point.
Most of your engineering companies like Jason and them,
You mean individuals that walk.
And it's really hard to tell them how to find that information.
I didn't say anything. Let me give you an example. I was in Greenland and I was working on another contract, and there was a realtor in there that was doing the exact same thing that I just went through here tonight. And he went through this dissertation with their planning chair about how they needed it done. He gets down there. She scolds him for an hour because he had to have the green card off the return. Versus Tawny Town does not require to have the green card, just have the white and green slip.
We don't have the return receipt requirement that apparently Greenland does.
So it's not
just let it sit.
And the public being ignorant of facts, as much as each town does something a little bit different in how their approach is to handling it.
Yeah, and certified letters are, I mean, they're kind of confusing if you don't do it on a regular basis anyway.
Right. So even like for me, for example, when I walked in, I said, how many people do I need to notify here? I was willing and able to get it myself. Well, she does two clicks.
Yeah.
And it's there in front of her. So, you know, I think it's more designed for like I said, people that aren't accustomed to doing this day in and day out. Because I don't think you've ever had a request from any of the
No, none of the, and in fact, you know, like when we do large subdivisions or large scales, those that are not asking for a zoning change, they don't have a notification requirement because they're allowed by right in that zone. If they're asking, if it's a larger person asking for a rezone for something larger like that, they would handle all of their own. And then I would just fact check them. So
I'm in favor of the waiver, if everybody concurs. Anybody?
I'm in agreement. So you're just going to have a waiver drawn up, and then they just sign it
in
the
office application. Yes, and we could revisit later if we get even busier than we are now. But
you'll have the city attorney review the waiver to make sure.
Right.
I'm going to have the city attorney write the waiver. Yes.
All right, Adam. Any further comments on 10C? We need to move on to 10D.
Yes.
Discussion for creating existing zoning for landfill use.
Yes.
Break.
Do we want to take a break?
Do we want to take a break?
Take a break.